The end game is coming. The pace is quickening. People are calling it now. Outside of gold and silver circles. The land of Arcadia. Well, hello there, my friends. Rafi here from the Endgame Investor. And boy, what a week it's been. Gold, as I speak, is at new all-time highs of $2,635 an ounce. Silver has recovered all of its losses post 50 basis point rate cut when Mr. Slammy came and tried to slam it down, but failed in both gold and silver. We'll be discussing that. Chinese stocks are at long-term support, and the trend line that has been established in the Chinese stock market since 2006 has reversed from support to now resistance. So Chinese asset prices are in big trouble. Another wave of food price inflation in China has begun. The platinum to silver ratio is approaching a new all-time low, excluding the 1980 silver top. So if you would like to exchange some silver to platinum, you still have a great opportunity to do so. And despite gold being at all-time highs and silver climbing fast, we still have the final monetary crunch ahead of us, which could very briefly bring down the prices of everything, including gold and silver, gold the least, but silver more. It won't last long, but it is still ahead. And finally, the war that's going on over here, something monetarily to say about it. It is a cover for the war on cash. I'll show you an article about the 200 shekel bill, and this is going to come to all countries soon, but we don't have to worry about the war on cash because that only encourages the use of gold and silver. States can demonetize their fiat paper, but they cannot demonetize gold and silver. They can try to outlaw it, but it will not work. So as scary as the ban on cash is, it is only a warp zone for the return to gold and silver and the global hyperinflation that is still ahead. And before we get into all that, this week's Silver Report is brought to you by Fortuna Mining, symbol FSM. Today I wanted to get into what is, on the one hand, a major mine of Fortuna Mining, and on the other hand, a minor mine, no pun intended. And for reasons that follow, Yaramoko Mine, Burkina Faso, right next door to Ivory Coast, and the Séguéla Mine, which we hear a lot more about. In 2023, Yaramoko produced 117,711 ounces of gold. That is a palindrome. That is not a coincidence. Fortuna Mining always aims to mine a palindrome number of gold. And of course, I'm not joking. I never joke about anything. It is the highest grade gold mine in Fortuna's portfolio. But the thing is, it only has an operation mine life of about 2 years. Now, on the one hand, you could say, oh, that's very minor and this isn't a very good asset. But within 2 years, we will almost certainly be in the end game. Could I be wrong? Of course I could be wrong, but I cannot see a way that the monetary system, with the amount of war that is going on the planet right now and the amount of insanity, that this current monetary system can last more than 2 years. So as we head into the end game, Fortuna has an incredible resource here of 2 years of 117,711 ounces of gold a year, somewhere around that number over the next 2 years, its most productive mine. And we'll see how much gold they can gather before the fiat monetary system dies a wonderful and glorious death.
Best death ever.
And with that, let's continue with this week's Silver Report, brought to you by FSM. The first thing I wanted to share is a tweet from Brett Weinstein. If you don't know him, he is of the Dark Horse podcast. He's a big player in the freedom, medical freedom movement. This man is very articulate. He's very smart. He's a biologist, and he's starting to understand the monetary situation that we are in. And the importance of that is that he can explain it to a lot of people that stackers do not have access to because we are not in their circles. Stackers, gold and silver stackers, are only one part of the freedom movement, or the monetary part of it. And the money, of course, is the base of everything and all of the corruption and all of the totalitarianism that is burgeoning today. And if we can get other people in other freedom circles to understand that, we can get them all to focus in on the money and end the pyramid and destroy the totalitarianism that has built up since 1933. So he says here, when a mammal dies, its fleas abandon it and leap to another. They're programmed to do it, and they do it well. The sense you have that the wealth in our system is being drained is not your imagination. And here he's starting to understand. Ruinous taxation, rampant money printing, endless bubble schemes in our markets. Our civilization is being looted in preparation for replacement. The elite utopia that is imagined by the looters is doomed to failure, of course, but that is of little consolation to those of us slated to be left for the maggots. And here is where Brett calls the endgame, just like I've been saying since I began the Endgame Investor in 2020. The parasite scales up. He tweeted this on September 19th, yesterday at 3:32 p.m. The parasite scales up, growing with and preserving the host as long as it can. But let's not fool ourselves about where this ends. The signs that we're on the end game are everywhere. He gets it. We've got to get these people to focus in on the money and concentrate our power and end the dollar and free the world. Not to say that this isn't going to cause problems. It definitely will, but we will be prepared for it as much as we can, and we will be able to save whatever remains of the division of labor once this happens. Brett is organizing the Rescue the Republic rally in Washington, D.C. on September 26th. Check out the hashtag Rescue the Republic on this tweet. And if you are in the area, do show up. Bitcoin trying to regain 50 week moving average versus gold very quickly on the Bitcoin chart. Yes, Bitcoin has been going up lately over the past 2 weeks, to be exact. But it's still struggling at the 50 week moving average here relative to gold. The 50 week moving average is at 24.26. And Bitcoin is slightly down from this chart. This chart is a little bit delayed. So it says 24.49 here. Basically, Bitcoin is challenging, trying to break back through the 50-week moving average. I don't think it will be able to do it. But, you know, we'll see. Bitcoin is Bitcoin. It's very unpredictable. Chinese stocks at major support. This is what I said in the introduction. The major support line is at about 2,700. As you can see here, it's been hit five times, once in 2016, once in 2019, twice in 2020. You could call it seven times. And twice in 2024. Once you have this many hits on support, it usually breaks through. But let's look at what is going on in the longer term in Chinese stocks. This is a lot scarier if you're invested in Chinese stocks. We have this same support line, the short-term support line, this horizontal line over here. You can see one, two, three, four on the short term, five going back to 2016 or six or seven, depending on how you want to count it. But we have a longer term uptrend line from before the great financial crisis of 2008, which really drove Chinese stocks a little bit mad, or a lot bit mad, from 2005 until now, or until, to be precise, somewhere before 2024. Is that 2023, 2022, somewhere in there? There was an uptrend, right? And it hit once here, once in 2014, once in 2018, once in 2020, and it broke through finally somewhere in 2022, and now it is resistance. You can see here that we challenged this uptrend line last year, and now we are testing the final support zone over here. So if we break this, the uptrend line that has been in place since 2005 is now broken. Chinese stocks are in trouble, and China being the second largest Keynesian economy in that sense, if it goes through a deflationary spiral, the rest of the world will follow, and then there will be the final round of money printing. All this stuff is going to happen at the same time in unison, and we will have our endgame. Another wave of food price inflation in China. Meanwhile, while the Chinese asset prices are falling in a potential deflationary spiral, what we have here is a new upsurge in Chinese food price inflation, basic necessities. You can see the reason I put it back to the 1990s here is to show you that surges in Chinese food prices tend to be long term, right? Once you are out of a deflationary epoch here, or time frame, time period, whatever you want to call it, usually food price inflation increases for the long term. So here we have, it's at 3.2% or something like that right now. This is the beginning of a new surge in basic necessities, increases in food prices in China while the asset prices are falling. It's stagflation is what it is. And that is a very big problem for the Keynesian world that we live in, but a good thing for us stackers. Platinum to silver ratio, approaching end of a 26-year triangle, okay? You have the opportunity, if you would like to exchange some silver for some platinum. I myself only have 1 ounce of platinum. I exchanged it for about 34 ounces of silver. I spoke about that story a few silver reports ago, a few months ago. If you would like to have some platinum and you have a little bit too much silver to carry or to handle, you can exchange about 31 ounces for it for a nice ounce of platinum. And I don't think you're going to get much better prices than this ever. We have a descending triangle that is going to break out to the upside at some point soon. It is on its convergence point over here. It started since 1998. So this could be one of your last chances to exchange some silver for some platinum if you're interested in platinum. Silver is a money. Platinum is a less good money. It's less liquid, but it's at such a good price that I would be tempted to exchange more silver for platinum if the opportunity arises and I can find a coin shop that can supply it here. Mr. Slammy fails completely. Gold edition. This is about the attempt to slam the price of gold and silver yesterday. You can see here that this over here, post the FOMC meeting and Powell's press conference. So gold went way up to an all-time high, just about 2,600 in London prices. And then Mr. Slamy came and slammed it down to below 2,550, I think about $53. And then Mr. Market responded and we're back up to an all-time high. Now, we're going to go into silver edition of the same thing. You can see here the 50 basis point cut over here rose silver to a high of somewhere around $31.30. Then Mr. Slamy came in and eventually failed after a few hours, and we're back at the highs here in silver. So the question is, was this an attempt to slam down or was it something else? And the open interest can answer that question for us because we can see here that the open interest is at 545,000, right? It hasn't gone down from these numbers over here. This one says 538. The current number is 545, so open interest went up. Right? That means that more contracts were opened by short sellers, and those contracts were met by longs at higher prices. So the opening up of more short contracts, for every short there is a long, obviously, did not bring the price down, only very temporarily, ephemerally, for a few hours. And the longs are back in control here. So the slam did not work in gold, and we're not in a short squeeze yet. But the shorts keep opening up new contracts at ever and ever higher highs here, so they are in trouble. To give you a longer perspective here, this box over here is still ahead of us. The open interest in gold, the all-time record was just before the 2020 slam down, and around February of 2020, at 800,000 contracts. We're nowhere near that now. But what I'm saying is that before a financial crisis, usually you have an incredible rise in open interest in gold. I don't know why that is. I don't understand the mechanics of it. I'm just saying it happened here. And then you had a huge slam down to 1450. It scared the pants off of a lot of stackers. It doesn't look very big on this chart, but it was very big at the time. So if we start to see open interest really climb high, like towards 700,000, 800,000 contracts, that could be a signal that the final slam is ahead of us. Just be careful of it. It might not happen. Just be emotionally prepared if it does. This is also still ahead of us. This little peak in open interest here in silver was also an all-time peak going back to 1980. 1980 was higher, but this was the peak, excluding the 1980 silver parabola, and it brought silver down to somewhere in the $11 range, freaked everybody out. So if we see silver open interest climb to about 240,000, it's right now at about 140,000. We're nowhere near there yet, so we're in a different situation. Just be careful of this and be advised that it could happen and be emotionally prepared. Now, the final thing I want to go into is the war on cash. Right, this article I just saw, I will translate it as I read it. This is in Hebrew. It's about the 200 shekel bill. As a war is going on between Israel and Lebanon and Syria and Iran proxies and possibly Egypt, who knows what's going on down there? I don't know. This article came out and it is the war is cover for this, and it's very obvious to those who understand. It says here the title, The End of the 200 Shekel Bill. The Prime Minister Netanyahu has advised the Treasury Secretary or the Treasury Minister to cancel the bill immediately. Now, I got two bills here. This is the 200 Shekel Bill, which will soon be demonetized in Israel. This is a $100 billion Zimbabwean bill. That is worth nothing. Soon, the 200 shekel bill will be inadmissible for payment of taxes. They'll probably put a deadline, and nobody is paying attention to this because of the war that's going on and all the pager attacks and everything, and all the excitement. It's a psyop to distract people, but I'm not worried about the war on cash Why is that? Because while governments can demonetize their bills, first of all, that hastens hyperinflation, it brings the end game closer, and it increases the prices of gold and silver. Because while governments can demonetize their own fiat, they cannot bring the market price of gold and silver down. By doing so, they can only bring it up. So what should happen is that coin shops should see an opportunity to increase business here, and you should see more coin shops turning up so that people can sell coins for shekels to pay taxes with that, even though they can't pay taxes in the bills. And that should bring the popularity of real money up to a climax and destroy the value of the shekel and any other fiat currencies that try to demonetize their cash. The other effect, of course, is that those who are using cash to avoid taxes will suddenly have to pay them. And if they are businesses, they are going to have to raise their prices, which of course is going to speed up the hyperinflationary process. The government is trying to take away all the power from the people, but once they have everything, they shoot the moon and they have no power at all. And gold and silver start everything over. This is Rafi with the Endgame Investor with this week's Silver Report for Arcadia Economics. The endgame is coming. The pace is quickening. People are calling it now, outside of gold and silver circles. And I will see you guys next week.